Well, hi everybody, and on behalf of Hootless.com, welcome to this week's Heart Call, which stands for Hootless Energetics and Related Techniques. Today is Sunday, the 9th of September, 2012, and we'd like to offer gratitude to everybody that's come in on the call today, that is, whose first time it is, that's come in to support Rudy Hunter, who's already here, and joining us to welcome him to these calls. This is just great. We have in excess of 20 people already in, and that the list is growing by the second as everybody's coming in now. So this is great energy exchange. So thank you all for coming in and sharing your energy with us all. And, of course, to everybody that is a regular participant to these calls, thank you to you as well, as always. You share your energy every single week. It's just great. So in a little while, Rudy Hunter is going to be taking us through some group work first before we open the floor for some service assistance and sharing. And for those who are not familiar with what Rudy does, by all means, go out and take a look at his website. You can go and have a look right now while we do this intro to www.rudyhunter.com or huntershealingcalls.com. And to just give you a little bit of background, Rudy Hunter became a Touch for Health instructor with Dr. John Tsai. I hope I get that right. DC, the founder of this terrific bodywork modality. He has developed energetic bodywork techniques himself, including the Phoenix technique and Sacred Eight healing, and the amazing self-care technique called Hunter's Emotional Alignment Rescue Technique for gently resetting your emotional upsets in under 3 minutes. And Rudy also works remotely, doing distance work, using the voice as his way to access a client's energetic system. And we're going to be exploring all of this together today. So many people who are on the call that are very familiar with what Rudy does, of course, are going to be more experienced in all of this than we are today. So it's great. We can all learn from each other. Now, just before we start, a few quick reminders, especially if you're new to the call, so that you know what to do. If you've Skyped in, may we ask that you turn your status right now to red or do not disturb. What this does is disables the bleeps and keeps for replay clarity because the call is being recorded. And also know that to participate or listen to any Hootless.com call, live, or replay, that you are in acceptance of the Hootless.com terms and conditions. You can find them at the top right terms tab, which is on the homepage of Hootless.com, so that's top right, and we invite you, as always, if you haven't already, to go and take a look there now. This call is now in session and is being recorded as we speak, so if you do step up to speak live with us and speak with Rudy a little later on to ask a question or bring us again an insight you've had with this work, share something you're grateful for or would you consider a gain, and we do hope you do, know that you will be heard by everybody else on the call, but also you will be heard on the audio replay as well, which we do distribute unedited. So we just like to let everybody be aware of that, but we do hope that you will jump in as well. The more the merrier. And time and space permitting, we may take a comfort break at the top of the hour, and any music you hear, as always, is courtesy of praybird.com. Now, that's all very well, isn't it? You might be thinking, well, how do we get into this queuing system to come through and speak with Rudy later? What you'll need to do is press star 6, that's star 6, to enter the Q&A system. It takes you into a queuing session, and we can unmute your lines from here. And you'll need to do that on whatever dial pad you entered your PIN code in on to get on the call. So if you used a telephone, use that one. And if you came in by Skype, it's the same computerized dial pad there that you just tap in, star 6. And we'll see you, and we'll take it from there. And you can do this at any time, even right now if you want to practice. You won't disturb anybody. You'll be heard right now. And anything else that we need you to know about, we will, of course, do that as we go with the flow during the call. So, Rudy, it is so lovely to have you here. As we both said, why didn't we think of this before? A really warm welcome to the call. What have you got for us? It's so exciting.
Well, first of all, thank you so much. I just thrilled to be here. You and I had the pleasure of not only meeting but hanging out in a UN class a while back. And
we did.
We became pretty fast friends. So it's just nice to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you here. And the energetic side of things is growing. We have now in excess of 30 people on the call so far. So it's great.
That's wonderful. So I want to thank everybody for being here. It's really a neat experience, thanks to the modern marvels of technology, to be able to connect literally and figuratively all around the globe. But the literal part is really cool. So we're going to take full advantage of that. For this first part, what I'd like you to do, everybody on the call, is get as comfortable as you can. Some of you I know are on headsets. Some of you will have to hold the phone up while we do this work. We're going to go explore your nervous system and your spine a little bit. And I'll tell you before we launch into this why we're going to do this. We're going to just upgrade everything so that all of the future work we do, meaning the stuff that comes up after the next 5 or 10 minutes, will be smoother for you. And not only for you individually, but for everyone on the group. I will do my darndest as we're working with folks to try and make this valuable and applicable for everyone. And hopefully I'll remember to talk about how that's even possible. So, thanks for being
here. Sounds
good. Good. And just get yourself as comfortable as possible. Sitting, lying, if you're clever enough to figure out how to attend this call while driving, please pull over. I haven't yet met anyone who can do that, but just for safety's sake. I'm going to ask you to go inside and close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. If that isn't comfortable, you won't miss anything with your eyes open. It just helps you to attend the show that is you, to attend your own life a little bit more fully and completely. So know before we start that along with instructions, I'm going to be doing a fair amount of what I call woo-woo or specific energetics to not only help you do what needs to happen here, but also to embed it in the call itself so that you can come back to the replay and run it again or run the bits that you like. So allow yourself to go inside and find your feeling of your spine. This may feel like a toothpick. It could feel like Big Ben. It could feel like a rake or a rubber hose. We all have different perceptions of what our spine feels like on the inside. But it is a kind of center or a kind of core for who you are and how you generate throughout the world. So what I'll ask you to do is I'd like you to increase its not a real word, but increase its fabulosity. So really what that is make it a bit bigger and a bit wider. And I'd like you to color it an interesting color. I usually give mine sparkles. I figure why not. So it's literally and metaphorically a way of becoming more of the center of who you are. So as you're doing that, you'll actually begin to notice that things feel better inside already just with that small shift. So I'm going to guide you in a few different lovely, gentle ways to manipulate this idea, and we're also going to lay over some energetics as well. So for our first one, I'd like you to imagine that you're standing in a permeable bubble, and we'll call that bubble your life, your whole experience. And then what I'd like you to do is to move from the center of that bubble to the back wall of it so that you're pressing your spine up against the back wall of the bubble. And you'll notice that what this does is this actually gives the feeling of being more involved or more integrated into your life. And don't worry if you don't feel that immediately. We're actually going to do some silent energetics in just a moment to help that come to pass. So I will go silent for probably just 30 seconds or so. I have not dropped off the line, nor have you. I'll let you know when it's time to come back. And there's nothing you have to do, and you can't possibly do this wrong. So just relax, and here we go. Good. And take a nice, easy, gentle, unhurried, and unforced breath. And then notice whatever you notice. That's my favorite thing to say because I used to tell people what they should be noticing, and I found out that people notice what they notice anyway. And sometimes it's even more interesting than what I think they should notice. So just notice whatever's there and see if, in fact, there is a more expansive experience for you. There might be, there might not be. And then we're going to manipulate our spine, our central cord, in a different way, dimensionally different, that will give us a different effect. So for this next one, allow yourself to imagine that there's a marionette string at the tippy top of your head. For you energy fiends, that's the crown chakra. For you non-energy fiends, that's a string out the top of your head. And then imagine there's also a string that comes right off the end of your tailbone. And if you're not sure where your tailbone is, it's at the top of your tush. So one end of the spine has a string and the other end of the spine has a string. So allow your eyes to stay closed if that's comfortable. And then very, very perfectly slowly and gently, with no force whatsoever, imagine that the string is being pulled both up and down. So the top of your spine is moving upwards, and the bottom or base of your spine is moving downwards. And they pull in opposite directions. Now just imagine, or pretend you imagine, that all the dust and debris and all that intergalactic schmutz that was trapped in the spine and anywhere else just drops out between all the vertebrae. Let it fall out. Imagine that it just gets cast away and carried away by the four winds. And while you're in this literally expanded state, I'm going to ask you to stay with that idea of a slightly elongated or stretched spine. And this time I'm not going to go completely silent. I'm going to actually mumble a bunch of stuff that's fairly meaningless. And I'll be back to you in about 30 seconds or so. So just keep your attention on your center, on your spine. And here we go. And you can let that visualization and that imagination just go and just reassemble yourself. And then slowly and gently bring yourself back to the here and now and allow your eyes to open and reorient yourself in this time and this space. And take a moment before you do anything else just to do that very important thing of noticing what you notice and see what's changed or shifted or improved for you. And welcome back. So Lisa, as folks slowly pull themselves together, I'm curious as to your experience, just if you'd be willing to share it, that would be great. And also, I'd love to hear what folks are most interested in exploring on the call, if you've spoken to people before this.
Okay. Well, that was very lovely. I'm happy to share my experience.
Great.
It was very interesting because I got a visual. I'm very visual. I got the visual immediately before you even asked us to have the cord move up and down. That started happening anyway before you said it, and I thought, oh, that's interesting, when you actually said the words of what I was already doing for some reason. So that was my experience, but very peaceful, and a sense of clarity crept in for me, which is really nice.
Good. Wonderful.
Yes. Yeah.
So
would
just
anybody
for
else like to feedback? If you would, I would love to hear your experience with that. As we're definitely going to go with the flow tonight, so it's going to be a very interesting call. So if you would like to come forward and share anything, it's star six. And we'll take it from there.
And for everybody who wants to share how they feel, one of the things that I always try and caution folks about, it's a regular human capacity that we have to compare our experience to everybody else's. And it's one of the ways we can fairly quickly trip ourselves up. So know that whatever your experience is actually perfect and fine, perfect for you, custom designed for you. And also the other part of that is also if you didn't feel much, don't worry. I promise you'll feel something somewhere along this call, because I'm deliberately going to be working at very different levels and layers, because everybody's at a different level and layer, and we want to go and try and poke everyone as much as we can.
And there's over 40 of us here now, by the way. So, you know, there's no rights or wrongs. We both decided we were going to do a go-with-the-flow call so that the level is so that it can find its own level and its own way through, if you will. So if anybody would like to share, I think everybody's sitting just nice and peacefully. And,
good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but it's completely clear. So if anybody would like to come in and comment on that, it's star six on whichever dial pad you came in on.
So while
wherever you entered the PIN code.
Sorry. While
okay.
We're waiting, I'd like to do a process.
We knew it was going to be a lot of fun. We knew this.
Absolutely. I'd like to do a process with everyone. I'm sure that I have probably a fairly different perspective than a lot of people, because I work with people and animals all the time. And there are certainly common threads and themes that come and go, some that never seem to come and go, but also we share a lot in common. In recent times, I've done a lot of work by request for money issues and a feeling of not enough money, restrictions, financial charge. Lisa, I'm just curious if that's what's on everyone's lips.
You're sure right. I didn't answer the second part of your question, did I?
Okay.
So I do apologize. Okay, so in the chat room on Hootlist, there's 12 or 13 people in there right now. Would anybody like to mention where you'd like to take the call tonight? I know the biggest areas that always come up on the calls are either relationships, covering family issues, personal relationships, money issues, and finance is another big one. It's usually those two.
Okay. Well, love and money it is. All right.
You know, yeah, love and money. Or what about loving money?
That's it. Well, I'm actually going to hit that from a different angle. So here's a really fun, juicy thing that will get things rolling for us. I don't know whether anybody's noticed, and I'm sure you all have because you're very, very clever, but money usually comes attached to people, whether that's our boss or the mortgage or the banker. There are people involved with how we deal with money. And that's just a fact of life. But there are particular personalities that make us crazy, that interfere with our whole experience of having flow and abundance and particularly ease with money. Now, I'll give everyone a second or two, because usually that's about all it takes, to find someone in their life who they perceive as a barrier to ease, especially around money. Don't worry, we'll get to the relationship part of this in a second. So you're looking for the person who always criticizes you about how you spend money, or the person who has harsh things or even just harsh looks at you when money is used in a certain way, or when money is held back. So that piece of tension is a very big block in the flow of ease and abundance with all finances. So what I'd like to do is give everyone just a second or two to find one personality, and I can hear some of you on the call going, oh, well, I have 12 of those. How long can we stay on the phone? Just pick one for now. But my suggestion is pick the big one, the one that drives you the craziest, because we might as well. You can go through this again on the replay. So for this round, what I'd like you to do, and I'll describe it before we do it, is I'm going to have you only in your head, not out loud, because that would make people frightened of you. Only in your head, you're going to go over and over and over the conversations and the disagreements you've had with that person, even if they were only one-sided, for a minute or two while I do some energetics, and I will do this round silently. So your job is to just run over it, have a personal ranting session of all of the ways that that's been a problem for you. I'll go silent, and at the end of a minute or two, we'll come back and see how we're doing, all right? Pull that person to mind, and we'll get that energy started right now. Here we go. And you can bring your attention back to the here and now. And then just take a moment, maybe have a little wiggle around. If you have water handy, that's great. If you don't have it handy near you now, you can get some later. And again, take a moment just to notice whatever it is that you notice. And I will tell you, from doing this kind of work over the years, folks have the whole gamut of experiences. On some rounds, they feel the clouds part and the gospel choir sings in full tilt. On some rounds, they don't feel anything. They just sit quietly. And in between, you can have any experience that you have, and all of those are perfectly fine. What's important in working this way is that the shifts that are coming actually start after these energetic waves are set in motion. So frequently, folks notice changes that happen in the coming minutes and days and weeks. So.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
So would anybody else like to feedback? I'm happy to share my experience again. I immediately got parental influences coming in, critiquing me on anything I was spending my money on. Isn't that interesting?
Yes. Yeah, long-standing disapproval.
Yes, or, you know, are you sure you can afford that? That kind of thing. And
yes.
Setting a limitation, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And things I'd long forgotten as well, which is interesting. Sure. I want to mention as well that we've got another topic that's come up in the chat area, which is about the elimination of pain. And, of course, mm-hmm. interestingly, money, relationships, things that get us stuck can manifest in the physical, can't they?
Oh, it's my
favorite
thing.
Again, that even maybe interrelated somehow.
Yeah. Mm. So one of the one of the spectacular biases I have, and I will tell you in advance that I'm extremely biased on this point, from personal experience and also from working with people all for years. It's quite rare that someone that I work with has a physical only problem. Now, that's not to say that there are no such thing as physical only problems, because I mean that's twaddle. That's why they have emergency rooms, and that's why bones need to be set, and very important stuff. However, the folks that I work with tend to have either recurrent or persistent problems. So I'd like to make a distinction. I work most of my time with folks who have chronic pain, and technically chronic pain is something that has persisted or recurred over 6 months' time. And I'm by no means a doctor, and I love great doctors. I think great doctors are great boons to mankind.
Mm-hmm.
However, chasing a physical problem that has survived more than 6 months is actually the opposite of useful. It's far more useful to chase what that pain or physical issue is trying to express, and
right.
that is almost always suppressed emotion. And I've spent lots of time fighting people on this fact, but what I tell folks, especially if they're in trouble, I mean, there's a difference between having something that's been bothering you for 2 years versus I'm facing the end of my life in a few months because I cannot deal with what's going on. Especially when folks are in trouble, the way that I lay it on the line for them is the choice is here to go headlong after the emotional suppression, because that really is the short course. And then when we even start working on that, it doesn't even have to be fully resolved, but as soon as we start working on it, the physical symptoms, by whatever method you're using, are usually very easy to conquer very quick, and they stay done.
Mm.
The opposite way around is long and tedious and seldom terribly effective. That's known as chasing symptoms. And I know people that have chased symptoms for 50 years. You know them. We all know them. And part of that chase is an active avoidance of the pain we believe we will get from feeling a feeling, which is messed up.
Mm-hmm. And of course, nothing we're doing here or at any time encourages anybody to not take the health professional's advice. Always do that. Always, always. Never stop
Absolutely.
Taking any prescribed medication or anything else.
Yeah.
Without guidance of your healthcare professional, this sort of thing enhances all of that.
It does.
And,
it makes it
together,
much better.
It can have wonderful results, can't it?
Yeah, much better, much faster. And, I mean, the big payola here is that if you will work on the emotional stuff while you're being attended to by physicians and chiropractors and the great healers that we have, your results will tend to be stable. That's the wonderful thing. So you get to actually work on it once, get it done, and then go on to live a life beyond it.
Rather than living in it and with it and letting it take over your life kind of thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's a very easy thing to say when we're not personally in the midst of suffering. And that's my disclaimer. I know that that sounds very brusque and almost flip. And it actually isn't, nor is it intended to be. At the point where I was suffering, I used to get very, very angry at people telling me the truth, but I could not hear it, nor could I get to it. It was too hot to deal with. So part of my suggestion to everyone, if you get nothing else from anything I do, is find a way of working that resonates with you that is gentle. That's part of why I'm such a big fan of gentle. I have a lot of free tools on my sites, and they're there very deliberately, but they're all gentle. There's no poking, no screaming, no yelling, no breaking dishes, no drama.
No breaking dishes, oh no.
Well, I mean, that's optional. If you know, you want to fling a few around, you know, be my guest. But the idea is that the only thing that can overcome that hot kind of resistance when we're in very legitimate pain is this kind of gentleness. And I love the work I do, but I'm by no means the only, you know, I may not be your cup of tea, and I'm not the only practitioner who does gentle work, but the gentleness goes, I think, very far in terms of actual healing, because it sneaks past all of our defiant hands on the hips, oh no, you don't know anything about me, that stance we take when we're hurt. So that's my...
I see, the interesting thing about that, Rudy, is that when someone is in, or we're in heavy resistance to something, we're expecting a hard approach coming at us, and the mind will resist even more. When you come through with something that's unexpected, something so sweet and gentle, guess what? In it goes, and it bypasses everything else, and we didn't see that coming.
that's very true.
And it can be so effective.
We're a little sneaky. That's okay.
Yeah.
So if we can, I'd like to do the relationship part of, because I hear folks in the back of my head going, okay, well, you did the money and people thing. What about the people and people thing?
And I could say that, you know what I'm getting? I'm getting the whole thing intermingling as well after that with kind of relationship with money as well.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So let's do, it's a very similar sounding setup, but we're going very deliberately after some big stuff. So let's pick one person in our life who is the biggest judger of who we are, what we do, the one that negates us the most, and you have my permission for it to be anyone living or deceased, because that energetic entanglement is still active whether they're with us or not. Until we've let it go, that's one of the big tapes we replay. It could have been your grandmother or your grandfather, and they are still blocking flow for you. Or it might just be your spouse when they're in a cranky mood. Or it could be your children who give you the sidelong glance or the, oh, maw of disapproval. It can be anybody in your life. And again, we don't have a long enough call to do the 27 people that pop to mind. Pick the big one. You can come back on the replay and pick some of the other big ones and do it again. So for this, whether you have a loving relationship with them or not is actually irrelevant for this process. That's a very polite way of me saying you can pick a pain in the ass if you want, or you have my permission to pick the person you're sleeping with. Either is fine. But their approach to you is of negation. That's who we're looking for. So for the next 2 minutes, you're going to cycle through in your head, not out loud, those moments where they negated who you were or what you were doing, and you're just going to replay those. If by chance you happen to run out of replaying those, you just replay them over and over again, okay? We'll go for a couple of minutes, and we'll get that started right now. And you can bring your attention back. And again, take a moment just to reorient yourself, have a little wiggle around. And before you go on to other matters, just notice what is, whatever it is that you notice. So Lisa, do you think we zoned everybody through the floor?
Everyone's still here.
I get very sheepish emails after I'm on interviews and calls saying, I was enjoying my time and then I suddenly notice I woke up later. I stopped taking that personally a while ago. Part of
and,
what
and
that
again,
is,
would anybody like to feedback on their experience so far at Star 6? And mine was I got some haranguing from a certain person that I picked out of my 27, or was it 37? And and there was an overlap for me, Rudy, very interesting, actually. There was an overlap in that I've realized I've started to criticize myself for various things in exactly the same way that I was taught by that person. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So
you
I've
really
continued what they started.
It.
So there's some insight for me. Thank you.
You're welcome. We really do.
Sherry's here. Let's see what Sherry's got to share with us.
Hi, Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Rudy. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks. Thanks for being on.
No problem. Hey, when I always did that, it brought up a lot of anger. I mean, it like, wow, in the center of my heart, it just hit it like an explosive. It just like got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Wow.
Well,
yeah. Good.
That was good.
So, well, yes. So let me ask you, how is it now?
Still kind of resonating, still kind of sitting there. I think that was a biggie.
Yeah. So do you want to play a little? You want to be our brave camper for anger and
absolutely.
Okay.
Way to go, Sherry.
Yay. Everyone else is hiding behind their couch while you're on, cuz anger is one of, well, it's probably the top of the heap. It is the single emotion, because it can be so volatile and explosive. We are most afraid of. And I'll tell you, and I'm speaking to you, but I'm also speaking to everyone else. One of my working theories is that there are a very short handful of emotions that create particular dramatic unrest in the physical body. And anger's probably one of the top three.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of why we believe that if we feel our anger, our head's going to blow apart, or our whole body's going to blow apart. We'll turn into intergalactic dust, and we'll cease to exist. Any of that ring true for you, Sherry?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, in America we have an expression for that, and that expression is "duh." Yes, the blindingly obvious. So let's play with your anger, because you've ponied up to be courageous enough.
Okay.
So here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take 1% of that anger, just 1%, not the whole shmageggy. Just 1%, and could you allow yourself to really welcome that 1%? Could you allow it to actually just show up here for real?
Okay.
Good. So I'm just checking. Your head didn't blow off, right?
No, it got pretty hot, but it didn't blow off.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
So is there an amount of anger for the next round through that you think you could be willing or might be willing to welcome? That's higher than 1%.
Sure.
What percentage do you think?
Without my head blown off, probably 10.
Okay, good. So let's do that. Let's have you welcome that 10%. And welcoming that just means you're really going to allow it to be here. And then tell me how you did.
It was a little better. The like the ball of like this anger that's sitting in my heart, and it's like I can feel it being resistant and being, you know, just a big, huge, deep ball of anger. And when I said, "Well, just let 10% go," and there was a relaxing, just a little bit of relaxing, allowing of like, and it just kind of didn't go away. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of flattened the ball a little bit.
Wonderful. So you and I have worked, and thank you for being on this call, you and I have worked on feelings before, right?
Yeah.
So you're super adept at this. So I'm going to show folks, if you're willing, what happens if we welcome the whole thing. You up for it?
Sure.
You are so good.
Right. It's so, better than being in me. I'd like for it to be gone. Be gone
exactly.
Is a lot better.
Yeah, nicely said. So So let's ramp it up a little. Let's put our attention right in your chest where you feel it, because that's where you feel it in your system. Okay?
Right.
So put your attention there. If you need to stop this process at any point, you just say time out and we'll stall. All right?
Okay.
So allow yourself to really welcome that as best you can, and allow it to show up. And then tell me how you did.
I'm just I'm flattening the ball. It's not
good.
It's still there, but it's like instead of being a big ball sitting in my chest, which is like trying to break through my heart, it's like flattening into something that's more like a sheet of paper, flatter.
Wonderful. So I'm gonna do something fairly sneaky now.
Okay.
And by the way, that's my lovely dog, Mikey, barking in the background because he wants to be part of the intergalactic call, too. So we might have to do some animal rounds later. So here's the sneaky thing I'm going to do. I want to ask you a rude-sounding question. Might you be holding on to any part of this anger to torment either yourself or someone else with later?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. So
I think that's twofold. I think that's tormenting the other person, my mother. I want to torment her, get her back, and revenge thing.
Yeah.
And then the other part of that would be an unforgiveness of self for my part in it.
So a little punishment for you, a little punishment for me.
Mm-hmm.
So in this moment, could you allow yourself just to see what would happen if you let go of that desire and that need to want to punish your mother or yourself? Even though it might spoil all your fun. Just for now.
That feels better. Yeah, that feels better. That definitely feels better.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So how's that big ball of flat paper stuff doing? Do we still have it?
Smaller. There's a little, it's like now there's a little voice kind of hanging on that says, no, really you don't want to get rid of, kind of like, really you can't really get rid of me. Like, you really need me kind of thing. And it's not as, but it's smaller. It's definitely kind of easing its way out rather than, you know, when we first started talking and we went through that and I got this huge anger that was kind of just rising everywhere. So it's smaller. It feels nicer.
Wonderful. Now, this little part is what I call the seed. And this is the seed that left out of conscious awareness, like you're done with a call, you go about your life, and then 3 days from now or 3 weeks from now, it's all back because this seed got a chance to re-germinate.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a feeling that comes back fairly frequently for yourself and for everybody, what that tells us is the last time we worked on it, we didn't really get down to the seed.
Mm-hmm.
So let's find out what that seed is. So if you were to let go of 100% of this, what are you afraid you might lose?
Mm.
And for everybody else, while you're thinking about that, we hold on to stuff because we're afraid we're going to lose something. We're going to lose some goodies or some specialness or some part of ourselves. So what does it feel like to you in this moment?
Well, this whole thing is about unworthiness. It's all about there's a place that I feel that I'm not worthy enough to be loved. Like there's an essential flaw that sits in me that says, you know, I was so unworthy that even my mother couldn't love me.
Right. So that's the backstory, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a convenient backstory. Just like Brad and Angelina have a backstory, or a character in a movie has a backstory, we walk around with all kinds of backstories.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go after that seed of not being loved enough, not being worthy enough for love. You ready?
Okay.
I'm giggling because it's the least dramatic thing we're going to do. You've actually done all the hard work so far.
Mm.
So watch what happens. Could you, in this moment, welcome that idea with open arms, but somehow I feel like I'm not worthy enough to be loved? Could you just welcome it here?
Well, there's a lot of resistance to that one.
Okay, perfect. So let's do the opposite. Could you push away from that idea? Could you resist that idea as much as you are in this moment?
No, I can resist it, yeah.
Yeah, good. And could you resist it a little more than that? Could you tighten up against it even more?
Yes.
Good. And even a little tighter than that.
Yes.
So here's an obnoxious question. Would you rather spend your life in this level of tightness, or would you rather be free of it?
I'd rather be free.
Right.
Because when you started going through that, as you asked about resisting, I got, like, not just in my heart, but, like, all the way down my solar plexus, like, everything started getting really tight.
Yeah.
Like, there was a big, huge, like, just
right.
Marble. I became marble.
That's a great description. And by the way, that's why a lot of us have spent years being so fatigued, because we're tensed against the thing we don't want to deal with. That's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
So just for this moment, between you and me and the gajillion people on the call and everyone who will hear you on the replay, I probably shouldn't say that, but just between you and me, as if we're talking privately in a cupboard somewhere, could you let go of that tension and resisting and just find out what will happen, just like a science experiment?
Okay.
And then tell me what happened.
Well, when I said let go to everything, just kind of like a wave of this wave of energy just kind of flowed down from my heart, down through my legs, and out of my feet.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sherry, take a breath for me. I'm going to give you a tiny, it's not even homework. I'm going to give you a tiny note to write and stick on your bathroom mirror or in your personal journal somewhere, somewhere that you'll see it every day.
Okay.
And this is really great fun because you only have to write it once and stick it up. And every time you see this, you'll actually re-access the conversation you and I have had. And more importantly, that will act as a reminder of the letting go.
Okay.
So on the top of the card, you write, I am not worthy enough to be loved. And then you draw a big X through it. And underneath, in your best handwriting, you write the word bullshit. That's what I call homework. So you put that where you see it a bunch of times, and every single time you'll actually be making sure that the seed of that discontent that you've been carrying around has no place, no fertile soil to grow in.
Thank you.
You're totally welcome. Well, thanks for putting up and being awesome for everybody.
You're welcome. I hope it's helped somebody else as much as it helped me. Thanks, Rudy.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Bye.
Sherry, thank you so much for stepping in and doing that as well. It's great for us all. Where are you in the world, by the way?
Montana.
Montana, fantastic. Fantastic. Great. Okay, well, I will remute your line. We have some more feedback, Rudy. And as we called it, I think so, it's happened. Skype is being very, very resistant tonight. So we're using the hootless.com chat area rather than Skype tonight, which is jamming up for everybody. But we've had some feedback about the first round you did with the money.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they've said is they enjoyed the shifts very much. And let's have a look. What also came up for this person was parental criticism. So that linked with mine. That's interesting.
Yeah,
and he felt the neutralizing effect of the background energetic work when you were working in the background there. And during the 2 minutes was playing the rerun, you know, of a sort of a disagreement or argument very quickly. And it started to then slow down and everything relaxed and the sort of emotional charge diminished as it slowed down. So that's lovely.
Wonderful. Good.
Very nice.
So while let's not gloss over the parental criticism. Let's go tackle that because this is in everybody's life. And it doesn't necessarily always relate to money, although, you know, I don't know how parents survive their teenagers, quite frankly. I can barely survive my own dog. So there's a huge family component that deals with no matter what family you grew up in, whether it's a biological family, a mixed family, whether you didn't have actual parents, no matter what the genesis is, there are so many layers of dynamics that go on. And we are in a constant, sometimes moment-by-moment dance of getting approval, getting disapproval, wanting to control what happens in the family, being controlled by family rules and regulations, wanting to be in the family, wanting to be out. So there are a lot of polarities that are kicked up. And we all know that from being in families. And there's another whole layer of karma within the family that can be fairly thick. I'm actually an only child from a fairly odd family background, born in London, funnily enough. But the family dynamics get magnified by siblings. So folks with multiple siblings have layers between each of the family members. And we have a sense of that, but we also don't know what to do about it, except when we come back for the next life, hopefully we'll do a better job, and the sibling that tormented us hopefully will be their tormentor. That's no escape from karma. That's just living in the same cycle. So I'd like to go and do a karmic piece and a family piece here, and we're going to do this in a strange way. And it'll be fun. And let me preamble this. For folks on the call who have lots and lots and lots of issues with family members, or lots and lots of issues with one or two family members in particular, don't let that divert you from the process we're going to do. If imagining a family member's face is upsetting, for example, for some people it is, you can just use like a label for their name. That's as good a visualization to hold things in place while the energetics get set. So don't get too snarled up in it. So here are the easy instructions. I'd like you, in your mind's eye, to line up your family whether that's a family of one or two or three or 15 or 20. You can include as many family members as you feel are relevant. Line them all up so you can have a look at them, and if looking at them is cumbersome, you can just do labels for their names. And then keeping that in place, I'm going to have you set something up behind them, which is our karmic piece. Everyone who has issues with karma or thoughts about karma needs a target for these energetics to be set up. So what I'd like you to imagine behind that row of people is a wave, like you're standing at the ocean. An easy way to picture this is put your family on the beach at the ocean so that the waves are behind them. All right? I will do a little mumbling for this round because we have a bunch of stuff to clear out. We'll go for probably just a minute, maybe two. And during that time, I'd like you to focus gently on the issues you feel that are there without going in to fight with them in your family. So no engaging, just noticing. And here we go. Okay, and you can just bring your attention back. You can let that visualization go. And as usual, you're just going to notice whatever it is you notice and have a gentle little wiggle around and reorient yourself to the present moment. And then once you're reoriented, you might want to gently go back and check for yourself your feeling, particularly your emotional feeling, about any karmic issues you feel you may have had with your family, how they may have changed or shifted, or at the very least loosened. And again, just notice whatever it is that you notice.
Well, that was an interesting one, Rudy. May I ask a question on that?
Of course.
Why the wave behind?
That's just a
Is that too technical a question?
No, not at all. That's an easy way for folks to build a representation of karmic patterns.
Okay.
I use waves for lots of different things, so sometimes they mean other things entirely, but it's not the target is not just the family relationships, but also the ebb and flow of time against the family, which is fundamentally karma.
Got it. Great.
And it makes for a pretty beachfront scene. Why not?
It does. It does. I got the weather and the sun was shining and it was lovely.
Nice. That's good. That's good karma, I think.
Well, as there's nobody waiting to feedback on that just yet, it's coming up to the top of the hour. Why don't we take a few minutes break?
Great.
And we'll come back. We'll clear the Q&A. And if anybody else would like to come in, as Sherry did, and of course we can all, I'm not going to say the word work, we can all play alongside whoever comes in to run something with you because we can apply it to ourselves as well. And as you've got the idea now, the way the flow of the call is going, things that come up, then Rudy takes that and does the next working on that, which is just great. So if feedback's really important, so we'd love to hear what's been happening for you, what you noticed. So So let's do that. Well, we'll have to take a break for about 3 to 4 minutes. You'll hear some music, and then we'll come back.
Great. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, everyone. Welcome back to the call, everyone. And just to recap for you, for those that have just joined us, some people have dialed in right now. We've been listening to Rudy Hunter, and we've been covering the topics of money, relationships, and family matters. And it's a go-with-the-flow call, so anything else that arises, we will deal with. And in case you don't know, if you would like to step forward and address something, work with Rudy, what you'll need to do is press star 6 on whichever dial pad you came in on. So wherever you entered the PIN code to access the call, that's where you put star 6. We'll see you in the Q&A, and you can step up from there. Okay, great. So let's see. Rudy, are you back yet?
Yep, I'm here.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. Would you like to take someone asking a question or to do something, or did you have something you wanted to continue with? Whatever you like.
No, let's talk to somebody.
Okay. So this is Pamela. And
hi,
Pamela, where are you in the world? We'll just unmute your line. Hello.
Hello, I'm calling from the Big Island of Hawaii.
Oh, how lovely.
Hi, Pamela.
The birth of Ho'oponopono.
So, yes, from the, I live about 7 miles from an active volcano.
Wow.
So, is this, shall I ask my question?
Sure.
Please do, yeah, please do.
Okay, insomnia, in all different forms, or just a lack of ability to let go and really deeply sleep. And I swear I've tried everything. So I figured there must be some kind of a hook in that below the ocean iceberg of my consciousness that is just resisting every damn thing.
Okay. Well, good. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
So it's great to be with you. So insomnia is a huge topic, and
right,
lots of folks make sure that they do all of the, you can come at insomnia specifically from all kinds of different directions. So what you've already told us is that you've already pretty much tried everything. You have a gajillion things that, have they all not worked or have they partially worked?
They sometimes things will seem to work, and I'll be very excited, and then 2 or 3 days later, it doesn't work. And it's not completely being able to be awake. It's inability to go into deep, restful sleep.
Okay.
Except right. On a sporadic basis.
Okay. So it really is the idea of letting go.
Right.
Well, you've come to the right place because I have lots of experience with this, helping folks about it. And we're also on hootless.com. There are folks who are just fantastic specialists at this whole idea of letting go. So let's go play with that. So let me ask you, off the top of your head, sort of first thought that comes to mind, if you were actually capable of fully letting go and drifting off into deep, restful sleep every night, is there any secret fear of what might happen or what you might miss?
I wonder if there's, what just popped into my head, I wonder if there's a feel of, or fear of not coming back. I'm not sure why that makes sense, but.
Sure. Well, much of what we'll talk about will sound like it's completely out of left field. So sleeping is very much like dying.
Right.
And dying is very much like sleeping. So we're going to tackle two birds with one stone. When folks tell me that they're afraid to die, I find it quizzical because we fundamentally go through a version of that every night, or most of us who are not struggling with insomnia do. We do actually let go into not subconsciousness. We actually let go and go unconscious. We go so far out of our mind that our mind is not even part of the picture. I mean, yes, it makes dreams and it does all that important stuff like keeps us breathing and wakes us up, but for all intents and purposes, it's a non-issue. So in this moment, could you allow yourself to resist letting go as much as you do?
Yes.
Good. And then in this moment, could you welcome letting go just as best you can, even if it's only a little?
Yes.
Good. So let's do that a couple of times. Could you resist letting go as much as you are?
Okay.
And then could you welcome letting go as best you can?
Yes.
And let's do it one more time. Could you resist letting go as much as you do?
Okay.
And then could you welcome letting go as best you can?
Yes, that's a little more challenging.
Yeah.
And I'm
well,
not
I'm gonna,
sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say, I'm not sure if it's the fear of letting go or if it's just that my mind won't shut up.
Right. Yes, the barking dogs in our head will not quiet down. Right. So one of the things that's really a fun thing to do when you go to sleep, or you think you're going to go to sleep and you start struggling with insomnia, is just that back and forth process. That's from the Sedona method, and it's very, very useful. And it's not only useful in its own right, but our mind really hates it because it's so repetitive and it's so boring. Our mind basically wants to-do lists and fussing about tomorrow and bells and whistles to keep us interested. So the fact that it is so repetitive and goes back and forth will frequently put people's lights out pretty quickly and almost knock them unconscious. But I want to give you more than that in case that's not your cup of tea. So when we lie on our, do you go to sleep on your back or your side or your front?
Hi, I just put you on speakerphone because of the heavy rain. I go to sleep on my side.
Okay. So one of the things, and I don't want to put thoughts in your head, but for everybody on the call, sometimes there are things we do in our life, certain positions that are just uncomfortable for a whole bunch of reasons. That can be because our body feels uncomfortable in those positions, but usually it's larger than that. There's frequently the trace of a memory that reminds us of an uncomfortable situation or time in our life. Now, does any of that ring true for you when I say it?
I think so. I mean, I have a sense that, yes, that makes sense.
Okay. So just a side note here, for folks on the call who come from a history of different kinds of threat or abuse or violence in the home, this is a very big deal of a piece. And don't worry, we're gonna fix and unlock that now. So whether there's a full formal experience of that, or whether there's just the inkling that something feels off, both will be resolved by what I'm going to do.
Okay.
This is, and going to sleep is a fairly common one. That's where a lot of what are called trauma fields exist. So we're going to go clear those out. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to imagine that you're in your regular position on your side about to go to sleep. And for everybody else on the call, check in your memory whether being on your side or the going to sleep position makes you feel at all uncomfortable or uneasy. If it does, I'd like you to participate in this by imagining you're in that position. For everybody else for whom this isn't relevant, you'll get good results from this, but you don't have to be as actively involved. So you can just listen to me yak away for 2 minutes, all right? So if you'll hold those constant, I'm going to go mumble some stuff, and I'll be right back to you. Here we go. Okay, and you can let all of that go. I want to do that one more time in case there is also a position that folks move into in the middle of the night that is frequently the case that also feels uncomfortable. For some people, it's on the, for a lot of people, it's actually on their back where they feel very vulnerable. And if that's relevant for any of us on the call, just imagine that you're on your back sometime in the night. We'll do a shorter version of that, and there you go. Okay, and you can bring your attention back. So, Pamela, how does that feel to you when you think about it now?
I had a sense, some a little clearer and some, you know, more vague of, you know, discomfort coming in from in some of the different positions.
Okay.
Had a feeling of, you know, one, I could connect with something happening in my adult life, and then I just it just made me wonder about my birth.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one to ask, you know, I'm the oldest one still alive, but I know I had a drugged birth, and I just had that sense, imagining being curled up. I don't know, just a very uncomfortable sense all along my spine and the back of my head.
Okay, well, that's perfect for the next little tweak we're going to do. So for everybody on the call, you probably will not have had the same particular insights that Pamela had. They're certainly related, as I'm checking energetically, but your experience, even if it's vague or fleeting or seems unconnected, actually isn't connected. So I'm going to do a little bit of work very briefly here in the nervous system just to unhook all of that, and I'll go silent for this round. This will be very short. Here we go. Okay. Excuse me. And you can let any focus on that go. And Pamela, we're in a tough situation. We want to sort of test something that you're not going to do for a few hours. So we kind of don't know what's going to happen. But I'd love to hear about it. That would be great if you would shoot me an email for sure. That would be wonderful. And
I was going to say, I felt a connection with the person who had asked some of the questions before, and also with what you did about releasing karma. I suddenly had this very odd feeling of something being pulled from behind and something being pulled from forward, and almost feeling like the not sleeping had something to do with being pulled by karma or family or something. I don't know if that is clear. But it was
sure,
just a very
sure
big aha.
Awesome.
I just had a big sort of release.
Yay! Good. We'll take it. We'll take it. And I'd love to just know if you would shoot me an email and let me know if anything changes and what changes, and then you know we can work on it down the road.
Okay,
that's out of the question, Rudy. Pamela's going to be asleep. She won't have time.
That's right.
Hey, Pamela, do you have a little helper in the background there?
Yes, I have a little kitten who we've been trying to, the girls rescued from the garbage, and they're trying to nurture it in the background.
Oh.
Who, by the way.
Animals try to get on the call.
And who seems to be getting stronger during the call, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. That's great.
Well, thank you so much for stepping up and sharing that.
Thank you so much. I'm very grateful.
Thanks, Pamela.
Aloha.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close your line again so you'll hear a message. And I have another message for you, Rudy. The comments that I said to you earlier about the person feeling the shifts, I'd forgotten to say who that was, and as a mutual friend is Helda from Portugal.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yes. So that's great. Okay, would you like to go to the next person, or would you like to do something in between that, or how do you feel?
Let's go to the next person.
Okay. Now, this is coming up, just so that you know, as area code 507 on the dashboard that we see this side. So if you could say who you are and where you're from, that would be just lovely, because we don't know. You'll hear a message on the line, so you'll know it's you that's being called on. So here we go.
Soda? Hi, how are you?
Hello. Who's that?
Hi. It's Shirley from Minnesota.
Hello, Shirley. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, we're good, we're good. Good to hear you.
It's a great call, as usual. Rudy's incredible.
Isn't he?
Yeah. He touched on the issue of chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I developed chronic back pain as a result of a car accident.
Okay.
And obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but I'm not going to have them touch me with a knife. I feel as though there's some energy that needs to be cleared, and I've worked on dapping, I've worked on, you know, looking at the pain, and I just need to get rid of this chronic pain in my back.
Gotcha. Well, welcome to my world. I am no stranger to chronic back pain. Part of what led me into the work I do today stemmed from the back pain that ended my dancing career many, many, many years ago. So, Shirley, I want to ask you a bunch of quick, easy questions.
Okay.
Because, by the way, in case you don't know, you're not the only person with back pain. That's good.
Oh, I thought I was.
No, we probably have lots of folks on the call who are, you know, have some amount of back pain. It's very, very common. So tell me what part of the back it's in.
Lower right-hand side, bulge around the third vertebrae, second third.
Okay. And that's a bulge at the lower end of the spine, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have a bulging disc?
Well, it's kind of off. They say it's 25 to 30 degrees off. Right at the area where they can operate or not operate.
Okay. And how long have you had it?
10 years.
Aha. So you should throw it a party. You're coming up on an anniversary.
Oh, you're funny. You're very funny.
So, Shirley, what are the big things? Like, I know this, whenever we have any chronic pain, even if it's in our pinky, it really affects our life, but what are a couple of big things that it really interferes you in doing?
Walking.
Okay.
Being able to wear stilettos.
Good for you. Did you say you're from Minnesota?
Well, originally, this is a story. You know, Minnesota, I'm at the home of the Mayo Clinic. So I came here to get repaired, mm-hmm. and but I miss my life in New York, and I sing jazz. So, you know, this is not helping my life.
Right. And does it actually interfere with your singing?
Yes. Everything. Okay. It interferes with everything because I could be walking in Manhattan 3 blocks later, my back, I need to be on my knees. That's how bad it can get.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, just a picture of somebody in Minnesota, that's our Midwest in the U.S., wearing stilettos. That was just...
Oh, I know.
It was a naughty thought, but a good one.
But you're exactly correct. You're exactly correct with your bad thought.
Okay. So one of the mechanical things that you need to know that you probably have not been told, despite the fact that you've been attended to, is that as a jazz singer, this is really important. The diaphragm actually connects to the lower vertebra in the back.
Correct.
And that's a very big deal in terms of vocal force and power.
Mm-hmm.
So when our back's hurting, that would naturally be impinged, and vice versa. Also, if we strengthen the diaphragm, now singers have really strong diaphragms, but if we strengthen it energetically, that should also help your back. The deal is
that
it's a two-way street. So if you strengthen one, the other should be affected. And don't worry, after I yak for a minute or two, we're going to go and do what we can in the time we have to see if we can move and shift this. The piece that I'm most interested in is, and if you'll be brave, you can delete people's names or events if you want, but what happened 10 years ago aside from the car accident that changed in your life? That's my favorite question.
Probably my sister's getting crazy, being very rude and very unkind to our mother. Mm. You know, stuff like that.
Okay. So, Shirley, I want you to pretend that we've put you on hold and that there's lovely elevator music playing there, and I'm going to talk to everybody else. You can eavesdrop if you want.
Okay.
So just for everybody else, when I hear this, everything in me, because it's my favorite question, I pay a lot of attention. So everything in me, as the person who likes to figure things out and also as an energetic being, goes into this particular place. So in my world, despite what she may or may not have been told, this is an important hotbed place that needs release. And it certainly needs it gently, because her whole family unit is tied up here, her relationship with her mother and her sisters, and she has witnessed an act of violence against the woman who brought her into the world. This is not a small detail. But what I wanted to point out for those of us who are helper folks on the line, Shirley glossed right over this with a giggle, and that's usually how we do it. Okay, so Shirley's back on the line now and didn't hear a word I said.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So here's the last piece of info I want to get before we do some woo-woo. 0 to 10. 10 is take me to the emergency room now, and 0 is there's no pain. Where are you currently in this moment in terms of pain? How high is it?
We're about an 8.
Okay.
Without narcotics. I don't take narcotics, so...
Gotcha.
We're 8.
Okay. So we're 8 now. We're going to do some woo-woo, and we're also going to do it for everybody else on the call, and I'll tell you how to set that up in a second. All we're going to try and do is we're going to try and underachieve for you. I know that sounds a little disappointing, but we're just going to try and slide your number a little further towards the 0 end of things, okay? Now, for everybody else on the call, if you have a chronic thingy going on, and that is a technical term, chronic thingy, you can pretend you're Shirley, but give it your own number and pay attention to where it's manifesting in your system, so that the woo-woo will benefit you as well. All right, so first things first, Shirley, in the scheme of things, I want to go in and do the family correction here first.
Okay.
So I want you to give me the one word that you experiencing how your sisters treated your mother, what's the one word that best describes that?
Disgraceful.
Hmm. Perfect. That's a fall from grace, isn't it? Disgraceful.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what happens when we have trouble in our stilettos and our back's killing us. But all right. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to the hottest before I tell you this. I don't want you to jump in and relive it full bore. I want you to observe it for a couple of minutes with me without getting sucked back into the drama of the story. It happened. It was not good. It was quite disgraceful. But I don't want you to relive it in the next couple of minutes, okay?
Okay.
You're going to observe it. I'm going to mumble some stuff. And we're only going to probably do this part for about a minute or so, okay? You let me know when you can see it.
I'm there.
Okay, good. Keep that in mind. Here we go. Okay, let that go for me. Tune into your number. Tell me what it is, and then we'll do our next piece.
A number for the pain?
Yep.
Boy, it's down. It's about a 4 or 5.
Okay, so let's err on the side of caution. Let's call it a 5. I really want to call it a 4 because I'm a little bit of an egomaniac, but we'll call it a 5, all right? And then we're going to do some very strange, brief things. And I'll tell you in a roundabout way what this is relevant to. And for everybody else, if you are not a singer with a back problem, don't make the mistake that the corrections I'm going to do for Shirley don't apply to you, because they actually will. So Shirley, the diaphragm talks in response to the throat. They're directly connected. So all of the diaphragmatic motions made in the lower back is actually connected to the throat, which is part of where your power and your creativity is, and vice versa. And while I'm telling you this, I'm actually doing some corrections. The other part of this is that the back has opposing muscles that holds everything in center. So So the left talks to the right talks to the left, and I'm going to correct those through the spinal cord for you. And when something's a little off-center one way, that means there's an opposite pull on the opposite side. And that's actually where I go to do the correction. And I'll do that now. And then there is one other piece of unforgiveness here. Sorry to bust you on the call.
Okay.
But I want you to say these words for me. You don't even have to mean them, but I want you to say them. I am willing to forgive that disgraceful behavior.
Oh, I am willing to forgive that disgraceful behavior.
Good. Now say, I'm never willing to forgive that disgraceful behavior.
I'm never willing to forgive that disgraceful behavior.
Great. Can you feel how both are true?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. There we go. You just let go. All right. Take a breath for me. And tell me your number.
Oh, probably about a 2.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So Shirley, I'm going to give you 2 more things that I want you to do on your own. There is a very strong impulse in me that I've learned to curtail, and a very strong impulse in you to slide this 2 down to a 0 right here, right now.
Yes.
So here's what I want you to know, and this is relevant for everybody. That's actually already in process, even though we can't see it in this precise moment. I promise you that's in process. So there are 2 things I'm going to ask you to do. The first is to not go poking and testing it today.
Okay.
Be done with that for today, all right? Just, you want to leave it be. And the other thing is, I would like you to drink more water than normal for today.
Okay.
Because I did some corrections, and the water will actually enhance that. And one of the beautiful things of not interfering and not pushing, my emphasis on doing gentle work, is when this unwinds as it's begun, the unwinding stays stable and solid. And that's really what we want.
Okay.
So Shirley, thanks.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Oh, it's fabulous. Just fabulous. Great.
Well, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
All right. And thank you for letting us know.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes, it's lovely to have you on the call, Shirley. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
I'm just going to clear your line again so you'll hear
okay.
a message. And again, we've had some people join the call even now. So okay. just so that you know, because I can see that a few people are new to these calls, if you would like to come on in, we still have some time left. We have Rudy's grace and presence for a little while longer yet. And what you'll need to do is press *6 to get into the queuing system, and you can do what Shelley and Pamela and others have done, and work with whatever you'd like to work on. Bring whatever you would like to the table, so to speak. We've covered quite a lot of ground, actually, tonight already, haven't we?
Yeah,
money,
we
relationships,
have.
Back pain, all sorts of things. Wow.
It's like one-stop shopping.
Great stuff. What else did I want to say? Oh, yes, and please be aware the call is being recorded. If you've just come in, you may not know that, and we do distribute the call unedited for everybody else to listen to the replay later. So just be aware of that as well, which is perfectly fine. Okay, so shall we continue, or is there
sure.
something you'd like to do in between all of that? You haven't stopped at all. You haven't come up for air yet.
Yeah, that's true. let's take another caller, and then we'll do some... more
work. Okay. Now, due to wonderful Skype, we love you, Skype, glitching out as it does sometimes, we have a few Skype callers around who are all coming up as anonymous. So if you hear a message on your line right now, you're in the Q&A system, so I'm going to unlock your line. So if you'd like to say who you are and where you're from, I have a feeling I know who it is, but I'm not 100% sure. So let's try. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Who's that?
Hi, it's Jude from Alaska.
Do you know I was right? I had a feeling it would be you. Hello, welcome back to the call. Good to hear your voice. Now, Jude, Rudy, said, was the person who in the chat earlier on said, oh, we'd like to bring in physical pain into this call tonight. And interestingly, other people have brought that in as well. So
yeah.
That fascinates me when a few people pick up on the same thing.
Well, pain's a big deal. And is it Jude, J-U-D-E?
Correct.
Okay. So, Jude, tell me what's going on.
Well, I've been dealing with some really severe pain for a long time. Okay. But in the last few months, it's gotten a lot worse.
Okay.
All the way from the right back of the skull through the upper back, shoulders, and all the way to the lower back. And it bounces around to different places at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there's a right hand issue that is so severe I've had to take medication, which I really don't want to do anymore, for about 5 years.
When you say right hand issue, can you be specific about that? Does that mean a carpal tunnel-like sensation or elbow pain or...
Well, I broke the right humerus clean in two right next to the shoulder joint, had a metal plate installed to hold it together.
Okay.
And after that, the right hand, they called it severe nerve damage. It never stopped. It was just so bad that, I mean, actually at this point I have reduced it a little bit, but the withdrawal from the medication is so difficult that I haven't been able to cut down that much.
Okay.
But it's still really bad. It would overshadow everything if I didn't take this medication, which I have a love-hate relationship with. But I want to say one feedback, too. Right at the beginning of the call when you did the spine exercise,
yeah.
I started these body movement releases, which are different than I ever had before.
Yay!
Like a shivering... but much more, much stronger. And it's been going on through the whole call. So something is really shaking up here.
Yeah, that's pretty spooky. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I will let you and everybody else in on a little thing that it's a timing thing that I have. I did a private call that wasn't actually supposed to be recorded. I did record it. And it is specifically nervous system based. That call happens to be up until Monday at noon, literally tomorrow at noon. So my suggestion for you in particular, or for anybody else that wants to take advantage of it, that it's up on a page on huntershealingcalls.com. It's called NSX. And it's, I can't remember, I think it's 30 minutes long. That would be very helpful in addition to whatever is going on with you now and the energetics that we started in your spine. So I'm glad to hear that. That call, from much nudging from people who love that, will probably become a thing down the road. I just haven't figured out what kind of thing it's going to be part of. So you said a couple of interesting things. The first is I'm sorry you're having a hard time. That sounds like it's more than a full-time job.
Thank you.
So the love-hate relationship with meds, I have a fix for that that I think you'll benefit from.
Right.
And it's you can change the language because some people don't like the language, but the idea I would encourage you to use. And that's declaring to yourself, especially before you take the meds and every time you think about it and it bothers you, to declare to yourself that God is in my medication.
Okay, great.
It's a very, very useful idea.
I don't know where I never expressed it that way as a love-hate relationship before this moment. I actually kissed the pill before I swallowed it. Because I'm grateful. It allows me to live. I mean, if I had that pain without that medication, I would not be here.
Yeah,
so
sometimes meds are great.
But it slows me down.
Sure.
I don't want that part.
Well, let's get a number 0 to 10 so we know where your assessment is. 10 is take me to the emergency room. 0 is it's all gone miraculously. So where are you in this moment on that 10-point scale?
Which, the back pain or the hand?
Well, that's a good question. What's the thing that bothers you the most of those two?
the back.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's do the back. What number is that?
6.
Okay. So now there's one little detail you told me right at the beginning, and I'm going to do like we did in a previous call. I'm going to pretend we can put you on mute and talk to some of the other folks who work with people all the time. And this is just another teaching point that is very, very useful. The phrase that Jude used was, in the last few months, it got worse. Now, those folks who know I'm going right there. Because that's an indicator that's really important. It was also said, glossed over very quickly, very early on in the call. I believe it was the second thing you said. So now we're back live with Jude, who didn't hear a word of that. So Jude, tell me what happened in the last few months that changed for you. What changed in your life in the last few months?
Oh.
Now, most folks say nothing. But if I ask that question 10 or 20 times, you'll eventually slow it down enough to see what did change. Did people change? Did circumstances change? Did what I'm eating change? Did where I'm living change? What changed?
Well, I know what it is.
Great. What is it?
I thought about staying where I am.
Okay.
On a long-term basis.
Okay.
Okay. And I can do this. This can work. And I know, in fact, it cannot.
Gotcha. Well, first of all, thanks for being awesomely brave. We're all hallucinating the meaning of that. And trust me when I tell you, we don't need any more specifics than that. But we have the feeling that's behind it. We have the self-negotiation that you went through, the trying to make it all right. Now, Jude, I wouldn't be busting on you too much if I accused you of being one of those people who's really, really good at making things all right for yourself and everybody else. Mostly everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, welcome to my world. Awesome. We have some good people in this camp. And we also tend to suffer from twisting ourselves into a pretzel. Now, none of that applies to you, I'm sure, but I have certainly been there. So the good news is we know what to do for that.
Right.
So here's what I'd like you to do if you're willing. First of all, just take a breath and know that you're safe talking about this. You're also incredibly courageous talking about it. And you're safe with me. That's important for you to know. Everything we're going to do is so gentle that not only will it not cause any more pain, but it'll actually help take the sting out of this negotiation. Ironically, this is the part of this that really matters is the negotiation you're doing with yourself. It doesn't actually have to do with the circumstance or the people. It has to do with you. I can make this work. Ah, crap. No, I can't. You feel the push-pull?
Yes.
Yeah. That push-pull can... You ever heard the expression, what is it? Put our nose out of joint or our neck out of joint? That's exactly what push-pull does. It puts our spine in and out of joint. It makes us hurt. So in this moment, would you welcome the pushing and the pulling, the shoving and the yanking that you've been doing to try and make everything okay?
Yes.
Beautiful. And could you also welcome how exhausting that has felt?
Yes.
Right. And then could you also welcome the judgment that somehow if you can't make it work, you're somehow an awful person or terrible or have failed?
Yes.
Right. And then in this moment, would you be willing to claim the goodness in yourself back again?
Yes.
Good. And can we go one step further? And would you be willing to be at peace in your body and in the place where you are?
Yes.
Good. So take a breath for me. Now, when I lean into your energy, which is what I do all the time with folks, I suddenly have the experience on this end of the phone of having more elbow room, literally having more space around me. So do you have a similar experience now without me putting too many thoughts in your head?
Yes, the claiming, it felt great.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So I want you to, I'm going to say a couple of brusque sounding things, and they don't have to specifically apply to you or be totally accurate, but I want you just to allow them, allow, if you will, the words to wash over you. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go. I deserve my own space. I don't deserve my own space. I deserve to be happy. I don't deserve to be happy. I need to prove myself all the time. I'm enough as I am. I need to prove myself all the time. I'm enough as I am. I can allow myself to expand. I need to be contracted all the time. I can allow myself to expand. I need to be contracted all the time. So take a breath for me. And here's what I'd like you to do. Tell me what your number is about your back pain. We started at a 6. Where are you now?
Maybe 5.
Okay. So there's a piece in here that's still stuck in the fight. The fight over staying or going, being here, being elsewhere. Would you agree that that's the hottest place?
Yes, plus the actual ability to do so.
Right. Well, that's actually secondary. I know it's part of the picture and it's a genuine, legitimate concern, but it always comes second. First is the willingness.
Yeah.
So we have to, as they say, we have to get the spirit willing first. So let's do that. So I want you to take a moment and imagine your life 10 years from now based on the decision of stuffing it and staying. And feel the contraction that brings up. And you'll notice it hurts more, right?
Yeah, everything does.
Yeah. So let's let that go, because that's an unpleasant experience. And then let's go to the opposite pole here. And imagine your life 10 years from now, looking back, being proud of the willingness of spirit to make it happen, whatever it took. And especially the pride that goes with that.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that that's a much bigger experience.
Yes.
Right. So now I'm going to ask you an obnoxious question. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Would you be willing to live as a larger you in just this moment?
Definitely.
Good. And would you be willing to live as a larger you in perhaps the next moment?
Yes.
And would you allow yourself, remember it's just you and me, never mind those other strangers on the call. Would you allow yourself the gift of living a fuller life?
Definitely.
Good. Take a breath. And by the way, that's really hard, courageous work, because we just met and it's only been a few minutes. So way to go. So check your number for me and tell me what you notice.
It's probably close to the same, but pain area has slightly moved. So yeah. This coming and going and moving is very encouraging, because you know that it's not real in a way.
Right.
When it moves around so much.
All right. Stop telling people what I'm supposed to be telling people. You're absolutely right. Chasing the pain is good for if you're really keen for 24 hours or maybe a week. But then at some point it gets really boring, because it's here and then it's there and then we're back to the same place. So the other layer under this is holding on to the vow or the decision or the fight about staying and going. So are you ready for my wild piece of homework for you?
Yes.
You get a little piece of paper and you write on it these words: I'm willing to choose for me. And I'll be blunt with you. The first 10 times you read that, you might cry. That's okay. You're allowed. Because I'm willing to bet that there has been a lot of time that's passed where that's not been the case.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the promise I'll make you. If you keep tormenting yourself by looking at those words, you will actually come into alignment with those slowly or quickly at a perfect speed while you're busy trying to figure out what else to do and how to manage things, and maybe occasionally fighting with the meds. That's okay. Here's what I want you to know. All of that's fine. But the willingness to actually choose on your own behalf is the thing that unlocks the whole pattern.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And please, you can listen to this replay again. You can use the tools on my sites. Use whatever is gentle to keep that in front of you. And you will choose for you.
You really got to the crux, Rudy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Total pleasure hanging out with you. And thank you for being incredibly brave. Everybody appreciates it.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jude.
You're a blessing. Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Jude. Again, it's great. Jude regularly comes on the calls, and always good to have her here. So how are we doing for time with you, Rudy?
We're good. I have a suggestion. Why don't I teach a final process that'll be useful for absolutely anything under the sun?
Okay. Sounds good to me. So for the few people that are still in the Q&A session, we are sorry if we couldn't get you on this time, but with a little bit of gentle persuasion, I'm sure that Rudy will come back and do this all again at some point. And we'll remember who you are in the Q&A, and we'll let you come in first next time. How does that sound? Okay. Yeah, sounds great.
So you've heard a lot of extremely brave, open folks on this call, and thank you to everybody for just being wide open. It's wonderful. And also under the great direction of Lisa, who has just managed all of this beautifully. Thank you, Lisa. I want to do a thing called the edge of the world with everybody. This is something I've taught to clients for years. All of the articles I've put out and the techniques all come from working with people. And a couple of years ago, I wrote a bunch of them down, and they're online. This is called the edge of the world. And it's a really simple, gentle process. And you can use it for anything. And when I say anything, I mean anything. You can use this for habits, for good feelings, bad feelings, for agita about where the money for the rent's going to come from, for toothache. It doesn't matter what the subject is. So it's an extremely useful little unit. Out of this particular process comes a slightly more complicated process that I've published called The Man Behind the Curtain. But this was really the genesis of it. And I like it because it's very straight ahead. So I want you to pick something you want to work on. And working on, or even that language is a little heavy, something you want to play with or improve, something you'd like to be better or lighter or easier in your life. I'm always for easier. And notice, you can numerically rate it, or you can just notice how it feels before we start, because we're, if I remember, I'm going to remind you to check it at the end just to see what's changed. So put that aside for now, and I'm going to teach you something about objects and edges. So imagine that you're looking out at the horizon, and that there's an object in your way. So between you and the horizon, there's an object, any shape or size. And what I'd like you to do is to scan your eyes from left slowly to right so that you can notice the edge of the object. So I'll say that again. You look at a horizon. You imagine that there's some object in your way. And it can be a thimble or a refrigerator or a planet. Doesn't matter shape or size. And then looking from left to right or right to left, as your eyes scan the horizon, you see the edge of the object. This will become relevant and important in a minute. So we've had practice finding a horizon and finding the edge of something. Now we're going to go do the work together. I'm also, because we have the capability to do it, I'm also going to add some energetics to this so it'll work even more deeply than when you're doing it on your own. But this works fine on your own. You don't have to access this recording in order for this to work. So your problem, whatever it is, the issue that you want to work on, has a shape and a size and probably a color. And many of you may never have thought of that, but it has substance to it. Whether it's a green pelican or a splinter or the Eiffel Tower, however you perceive it, it actually is an object, and it has an edge. If you put it in front of the horizon that you're looking at, you can find an edge to the problem. And the problem can be so big in your face, it can be this huge black cloud of depression or sadness or grief, that it seems that it fills the entire view in front of you. But if you look far enough left or far enough right, you'll find an edge. And that's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to find an edge to that problem. And I'd like you to keep your attention there. That is a magical, magical spot. Something I discovered about problems. So as you keep your attention there, I'm going to go quiet and do a little woo-woo. I'll be back to you in just about a minute. Here we go. It's just fine. You can bring your attention back from where it was focused. You can let all of that go. Have a little wiggle around. And take a moment to notice what you notice and then recheck the problem. And notice how much of that problem has improved and what parts of it have improved. And then there's basically a couple of choices. If you're done, if it's all collapsed to zero, that's great. You can use that technique, the edge of the world, for anything you want. If there's still some left, if there's still a seed of it left, go after the seed. Go after it again, looking at the new edge of the problem until it's collapsed. So it either will have collapsed a lot or a little. And either is fine. If you need to do more, you just rinse and repeat all the way through. And this is one of the things that I discovered that is so useful that you cannot wear it out, and it actually doesn't rely on energetics for it to work. I will tell you that if you spend 3 minutes looking at the edge of a problem, most tough things will collapse. If it's particularly emotionally charged and very in your face, it may take a little more, or it may take several goes at it, but in very short order, you'll have it collapse down. So all of the pain, and most importantly, all of the suffering gets pulled out of it. So that's a little gift for you, and that's the edge of the world.
Well, thank you, Rudy, so much. That
You're
was
welcome.
An interesting one. I liked it.
It's very, very useful.
Very, very useful, yes. It is. Well, what a lovely call. And I can say that most of the people that, as we started, so we finish, most people have stayed with us right till the end. And for those that don't know, we usually run for a minimum of an hour. Anything else over the first hour is a bonus. And we're very grateful to you, Rudy, for staying for what is now 2 hours. How does it get any better than that?
Yeah,
and where did the time go? It went so quickly.
It did.
Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
It does.
Well, thank you very much for being here and taking us through all of that. Wonderful.
My complete pleasure. Thanks so much to everybody. And Lisa, thanks
and,
to you.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's plan another one. How's that? Let's
Sounds good.
Do it all again soon. And I have a few announcements before we go as well, before we end the recording, actually. For those that don't know, well, firstly, thank you to Pamela, Shirley, Jude, and Sherry as well for your courageousness in stepping up live on a call to do this stuff. Absolutely wonderful, and allowing us all to release and work together with you. It's just lovely. What the format of these calls has is that when we end the recording, which I'll do in just a few seconds, we leave the lines open. So for anybody who wants to continue releasing or talking or discussing the call, you can stay on as long as you like. We leave the lines open. And as we promised, this call will be available for replay. So where you can find it, what happens is during the months of the course, we add them to the front page. As you scroll down on the front page of hootless.com, you'll see a box which says course for August or September or whatever month we're in. And we add them as we go during the months. Then at the end of the month, we archive them into the 2012 archive, clear the front page, and we start again. So there'll be a play link there for you, and we will have the call up probably within 24 hours, usually a lot before that, but that'll be there for you to rerun and listen to all over again. And some announcements that we have of what's coming up over the next few weeks, and everybody's welcome to join in. Rudy and my own good friend Leroy Malouf will be here next weekend. That's Sunday. And he's literally in Egypt right now teaching his UN method, Full Spectrum Wellness Levels 1, 2, and 3. And so he's going to be fresh from Cairo, actually back home, and going to be bringing all the fresh things that he's been teaching out there to the call next weekend. Which is quite wonderful. I had an amazing gain a few days ago. He happened to be stopping over in Heathrow on the break before flying out to Egypt from Cape Cod, where he lives. So I went to meet him. So I had the wonderful opportunity to meet him in person, and he's quite amazing. So that's Leroy Malouf. And on the 22nd then, for any of Leroy Malouf's level one or above practitioners, we have a heart practitioner call. So that's only for anyone that has done either UN Mastery or UN Method Level 1 or above, UN Mastery 1 or above, with one of CAMUN's facilitator trainers, etc., and teachers, and that'll be on the 22nd. And then on the 23rd, Colin Tipping is back, Radical Forgiveness Review, from the call he did last month. And we're going to round off the end of the month on the 30th with Ralph Zeitlin, who, for those that don't know, was one of the first dozen or so people to be, let's say, the guinea pig when Lester Levinson first founded the Sedona Method. He was amongst the first dozen or so people that was involved in it right back where it started. So Ralph has an amazing energy as well. So it's a great lineup for the rest of September. So that's it for now. Thank you all very much for being here. Even if you didn't step up, thank you for lending your energy to the call. It's always so lovely. And, of course, it's multiplied. The energetic effect is multiplied exponentially, you know, according to how many people are on the call and everybody being here, along with the animals as well, kittens and parrots and things like that I think we had tonight. Quite wonderful. They know energy when they feel it, that's for sure. So thank you, everybody, once again. We're very grateful to you all for coming in. If it was your first time, we hope you'll make it in for another call sometime soon. And please do take advantage of the archive. You'll see lots and lots and lots of different calls by different coaches, practitioners, and facilitators. And it's all for free for you to listen to. And working your way through all of those might take you some time. Anyway, that's it from us for now. Thank you, Rudy, once again, if you're still listening in. Thank you, everybody else. Have a great week, and be the love you wish to see in the world. Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.